Good morning. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Well, there's a tall order. And if you add these commands onto everything else that there is to do in this last week before Christmas, you may just feel a little overwhelmed. But if we look at these verses and what they really mean, and that the fact that they will be a release to us and not burden us, that they will bring our focus back onto God, who after all is the reason we celebrate Christmas, then we may look at life through a different set of lenses. One of the difficulties for me as I read these verses is the command is to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks all the time. It would be so much easier if Paul had qualified it with most of the time or when you feel able. And if I'm totally honest, that's how I function. But the challenge is that he says all the time. If we don't confront our own difficulties and trials. So let's look briefly at each command. Rejoice always. One writer said, if we only have eyes to see, we would find reasons to rejoice everywhere. On the morning I was due to write this talk, I took our dog Billy for a walk. To be honest, I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit fed up. I thought about the message of the sermon that I was about to write and said, come on, Ali, practice what you preach. So I started to rejoice in God, in who he is, and to be thankful. I was looking intently at the beauty of nature and praising God when I tripped on a large tree trunk and nearly went flying. I then had lots to be thankful about, as I didn't quite go to the ground and break anything. God has a sense of humour, and I came home in a much better place than when I had left, and many of the things that had overwhelmed me were sorted during the day. Focusing upon God brought me joy and peace. To rejoice always is a command. It shouldn't be dependent on our feelings. But it doesn't mean that we go around with an inane grin on our faces or a superficial smile. It's a deep sense of joy in the Lord that comes from knowing God and having a relationship with him. It's also supernatural, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit to teach us how to rejoice. It doesn't mean that we're never sad or even clinically depressed, which I believe is a different entity altogether. Jesus was sad at times. It's interesting that the two shortest verses in the Bible are Jesus wept and rejoice always. When we go through trials, we can still choose to rejoice in God, even though we're sad or struggling. Paul showed this very clearly when he was in a prison cell in Philippi. On the evening after he had been stripped and flogged, he rejoiced and sang praises to God. Later on that night, an earthquake occurred and the prison doors were flung open. Paul may give us hard commands, but he certainly practices what he preaches. At Christmas, we think of the carols that we sing praises to God, such as Good Christian Men Rejoice, with heart and mind and voice. Or Rejoice, Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us to learn to rejoice in God, whatever the circumstances. As Abraham Lincoln once said, we can complain because the rose bushes have thorns, or rejoice because the thorn bushes have roses. If we focus on the right thing, we see things differently. Pray continuously. Another challenge. However do we do that when we've got so much other stuff that takes up our brain space? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get to the top of the stairs and I think, whatever have I come up here for? Oh, good. Some people do that too. Alan's done that twice this morning, if that makes you feel any better. If my brain is so busy trying to remember a lot of things, then how on earth am I going to remember to pray all the time? To begin to learn to pray without ceasing is a lifelong process. In the words of the writer Paul Miller, firstly, we need to know that we cannot do life on our own. In other words, we need to recognize our dependence on God. Prayer is the language of trusting God. And if we look at prayer broadly, then life itself is a prayer offered to God. When I consider praying continuously, I find the following comparison helpful. We breathe to live. Sometimes we're aware of our breath pattern, and at other times it just happens. But we need to breathe to live life to the full. If our breathing is compromised for any reason, we are restricted in what we can do and how we live. So with prayer, if we have an underlying attitude of prayer, which at times we're more of aware of and pray deliberately, then we're praying constantly. If we forget God and leave him out of our daily life, the result may be frustration, irritation, lack of peace, weariness, and discouragement. When we invite God into our daily lives, there's a sense of peace, knowing that he's guiding us along the way. And finally, give thanks in all circumstances. Again, doesn't this pose a problem to us? Giving thanks at all times is countercultural. It's so much easier to do the opposite and complain. We are, after all, a nation of complainers. And when life is tough and everything falls apart, the last thing we feel inclined to do is to give thanks. On this account, we can be encouraged that great biblical figures such as Job, David, and Elijah all struggled to find joy and give thanks when things were tough. I'd like to tell you a wonderful story to illustrate the positive effects of giving thanks. Corrie ten Boom was a Christian who saved many Jews in the Second World War. She was imprisoned for her actions. She and her sister Betsy were placed in a terrible prison camp in Ravensbrück. It was overcrowded and flea infested. Their scripture reading that morning when they arrived in the prison was the same as ours today and reminded them to rejoice, pray continuously, and give thanks in all circumstances. Betsy told Corrie to thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corrie at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted. Corrie finally succumbed and thanked God for the fleas. During the months that they spent in the camp, they were surprised to find how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings without guards interfering. And it was several months later when they learned that the guards would not enter their barracks because of the fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances, even when we don't understand, when it doesn't make sense. Give thanks when it's the last thing that we want to do and our hearts are telling us no. We might not give thanks for the situation, but we can still give thanks that God is sovereign, that God has triumphed over sin and death through Jesus, that God is faithful, loving, and with us. That he knows us. He knows every hair on our head, and he feels our pain. And that God gives us peace that transcends all understanding. Three commands: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let's not wait till New Year to make this a resolution. Let's start now. Focus our energies on God and see what a difference this makes. It will be the best Christmas present we can give to ourselves, to those we love, and all with whom we share our lives. Amen.